Woodbury Reports with your host, Lon Woodbury, talking with leading professionals about how parents and others can help their struggling teens, preteens, and young adults. Now here's your host, Lon Woodbury.
Well, this is Lon Woodbury. Welcome back to the Woodbury Report. It's May 26, 2017, and we are going to talk about a different type of education, at least different from the standard public school education that we've had. I have on the line here Marty White and Philip Cocciello. I hope I got close enough. Philip, good to have you here.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
And Marty, good to see you here too. Well, we're going to talk about Oxford Academy. Now, Philip is the headmaster of Oxford Academy in Connecticut, and Marty White is the head. You're the dean of students. So
dean of students. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So, what's different about Oxford Academy? Why don't we talk about you're really off on a different tangent than the typical public school. And so, what are the problems with mass education that has evolved over the last century? Where we're at, near some of the problems that you tried to solve and put in with your school.
Well, I'll talk a little bit about that. I think when I think of school, I think of time, and when I think of Oxford, I think of the time that we give students to learn, which is much different than in a public school or even any traditional classroom setting, where the time to learn a subject is set and a pace has to be followed. And if the end of the year comes and a student doesn't understand the material or hasn't moved on in the way that he can to be successful, it's too bad. And at Oxford, we meet each student where he is at the time he enrolls, and we bring him along at a pace that suits him. And so a student who needs more time to finish an algebra course can have that time. And conversely, a student who can do the course in half the time is able to do that and move on to the next level. And this all happens because we have the one-to-one model, and we have one student in the classroom with the teacher, and we allow for independent work during the school day so that they have the time to, make progress.
Do you have classrooms as such to where they go from class to class, or is it much more fluid than that?
We do have classrooms. There are small offices. Each teacher has his or her own office, and the student goes to the office where there's a whiteboard and a computer and, two desks, and they work together on whatever topic they're covering. And following the class time, the student has a desk in our study center where they continue with their work on that subject, hopefully. And so they're doing work independently as well as work with the teacher.
So a class, when you talk about a class, you're basically talking about one student, one teacher.
That's correct.
Okay. And so how much teacher-student interaction time would a student get during a typical day?
Well, interestingly, we have very short scheduled class time, but the students all have access to their teachers all day long. So face-to-face time is different depending on the day, but normally they get about an hour and a half of face-to-face class time per week with their teacher. And then we expect them to work on their own with access to the teacher for extra help in between. So they're going to school from 8 to 3 on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and 9:30 to 2:15 on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
So it sounds like it's, for the student's perspective, it's sort of a situation where they touch bases with the teacher once a day for a short period of time. But most mm-hmm. of the time is working in the study center and with the teacher as necessary.
Correct, yep.
Okay, so I would imagine if a parent or somebody came in to observe, came to look at it, it wouldn't look like a regular school.
No, and that's kind of one of the things that we often are trying to do is get people to come on the campus and really see it and how it works, because it's hard to explain. Kind of people think of maybe something different than when they get here and they kind of see it and they're like, oh, okay, now I understand. That's how it works. There's almost as many teachers as there are students here. So each teacher is responsible for their subject matter and individualizing the curriculum for each student, which is, you know, pretty challenging. But at the same time, they get a lot out of those students because it's, you know, catered to their passions, interests, abilities, and it goes from there.
So the key to this whole concept is one-on-one time between the teacher and the student, and the student's being directed to the rest of the time.
Yeah, and we don't really, you know, it's a collaboration. The teachers, they know that when that young man comes in their classroom, their job isn't just to stand there for 20 minutes and lecture them. Their job is to engage that student, get them excited about what they're going to be researching. The student helps drive the class and their curriculum by their participation, their knowledge, comprehension, assessments, and, they do it together.
How many students do you have typically?
Our max capacity is 48 students, 48 boys, high school.
Okay, and it's a single sex, it's all boys.
Correct, yep.
Okay, so the students, since my focus is generally struggling teens, kids that have been having troubles either with school or with life or something like that, so I presume you get a fair amount of students that, I think the term is credit recovery, they are messing up in school and they need something like what you have?
Yeah, most of our boys are coming from, either junior boarding schools, other independent schools, public schools. The common theme is typically academic struggle in traditional classrooms. They're not doing well, I think Marty mentioned earlier, because they may have some academic challenges, or they may want to move faster. They're bored in class and they start to do poorly for those reasons. There's, the whole gambit here. Guys often are accelerating in one class, maybe moving slower in another, and that's okay because they're moving at whatever pace is appropriate for them.
I would imagine it would be a situation to where you might have a range in the school of, say, in math, you'll have students going everywhere from still learning basic math or getting those concepts down up to calculus or beyond. Is that correct?
That's perfectly correct. It's true right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so if a parent has a kid, has a son, that's what's your age range?
13 through 20.
13 through 20. So if the kid has a teenager that's having academic problems, he's not doing well in school, but not necessarily behavioral problems except bored and time in his hands sometimes gets out of control, they could send him to you and you would get work with them, find out what their needs are, and personalize the education to where what he needs when he needs it. Am I in the right track?
Yeah, you're doing a great job.
Correct.
Okay, gee, I've been back there, but I've never come by to visit, and I wish I would.
Well, you better.
I'd love to see this.
You're talking like, you're one of our faculty members, so keep up the good work.
Well, I think what I'm thinking is, well, what makes sense in school? Well, this makes sense if we had the budget and all that type of stuff, and it sounds like you're doing exactly what the kids need, and the public schools can't do for a variety of reasons.
Right.
And one of the reasons that so the people on the public schools don't realize that the kids go there, or they're maybe there 8 hours, but that's at best 50% efficiency. 50% of the time is wasted, so far as academics are concerned. So you could get in an hour, hour and a half FaceTime with the teacher, you could get more exposure and more progress with a student than in the whole 8 hours if that student went to a public school, right?
Yeah, and I like to think of our program as more depth than breadth, and so a student might not read as many books in an English class at Oxford as they would in a different setting, but they are going to really hone in and get deep into that literature and really, get a better understanding of what's going on. And the same is true of working on other skills. They're going to get those minute skills that maybe they missed in junior high or middle school, even study skills. We do a lot with study skills and time management and organization here because we find that many students get through middle school and they haven't learned that stuff yet for one reason or another. And so we work with them a lot on those things to help them be more successful.
Oh, yeah. It could be something as innocuous as they had the flu and were out of school for a week when there's an important key element, and then nothing made sense after that. I think that's what happened to me. In my math class, I got up to calculus, and then all of a sudden, nothing made any sense, so I made something important.
Well, congratulations for doing calculus.
Well, yeah, I got the credits, but they were D's, and I guess I shouldn't be an electrical engineer.
We won't hold it against you.
So I wound up in education. and as a teacher. So the students, tell me a little bit more about Oxford. It sounds like the basis is a credit recovery, and the one-on-one time is really critical to success of personalizing. What are the elements of personalizing?
Yeah. One thing I'd like to say is that, you know, we aren't all about credit recovery. We're really trying to encourage more younger students to start at Oxford with the proper learning profile matched with our school. We think that they wouldn't be in a situation where they'd have to come for credit recovery. So, you know, we're really trying to enroll students more at the ninth grade level so they can get what they need and have it for 4 years rather than getting halfway through high school and realizing that they need a change. And it's, you know, I think we see a lot more progress when we have students here for a longer period of time, for sure.
When we were talking before this, before the interview, you said you had a bust of Socrates in the lobby or someplace, and that's relationship to the intellectual foundation of your approach. So why don't you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. You know, the school was founded in 1906 on the Socratic method of know thyself, and that has not changed in 100 plus years. It's still the goal of, you know, the teachers and the students to work together so that they understand the strategies and techniques that are going to best serve them, certainly in the classroom, but also beyond the classroom, college, life, business, relationships, whatever that may be. And we know that, you know, spending a lot of time with them ensures that. But, you know, a lot of these boys that come to us, sometimes are lacking in self-esteem. I think just about all of them take study skills, which is, you know, organizing and trying to, like, help them be better learners, whether it's, you know, in a one-on-one classroom or a classroom of, you know, 200 in philosophy, 101 in college. I think that it's the core of what we do. And I think that, you know, the rest of the world is just starting to catch up, talking about individualized education and trying to add it on in some level, you know, shape or form as a layer. But for us, it's not just an add-on. It's integral to everything that we do, certainly in the classroom, but also, you know, being a small school of only 48 boys, and that's purposeful because we also know that one-to-one time in the relationships with them, you know, teaching them how to be, you know, positive citizens, good young men, responsible, kindness, caring, civility, those are some of our core values that we're also spending a lot of time on outside the classroom to get them where they need to be as well.
You know, I'd like to also
go ahead. Throw and I have an ad. Go ahead, Marty.
Oh, I was just going to follow up about the Socratic method, and that is, you know, Socrates would question his young men and have them think, and that's really what we're trying to do in the one-to-one classroom is give the students an opportunity to really think and respond, rather than, you know, being the silent one at the back of the class and not participating. And I think that's where students at Oxford really are empowered and to, you know, grow in their ability to think for themselves and take a risk academically.
I think one of the elements here, too, that is very important is your size. You say maximum 48, so 48 students, about 50. And that reminds me of the studies that's been kicking around for a while of a British anthropologist named Dunbar. It's the Dunbar number. And he says that there's optimum sizes of groupings of humans, that among the ancient humans, the Cro-Magnons, a clan would get up to about 50, and then that was more than that the human brain couldn't handle, and so they split up. And 50 seemed to be an optimum size, according to Dunbar's number, for this type of situation.
Well, we'll have you send us that research so we can add it into our marketing materials, reinforce the fact that, you know, being small is better.
Yeah.
Well, I have a scoop at account, and I have several articles bookmarked in there on Dunbar's number, so I'll send you the link to that.
Absolutely.
Okay, but yeah, the size is important. I presume you intuitively feel like if it got larger, it would be a different school. And if it was smaller,
you'd
have a different school.
Correct. I mean, we've had opportunities and requests, for that matter, to you know, enlarge our enrollment because you can only take a certain number of boys. But it is, you know, one of the main reasons why they're successful, why teachers love being here, because a larger school has to create systems to kind of, you know, have touch points with the boys or their students rather. And for us, it generally happens organically. I mean, we do have our support systems, obviously, but, you know, for me to see a student or Marty to see a young man in a given day, it's probably going to happen, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 times or more just on its own, regardless if we actually, like, you know, set appointments or times to meet with them. So, you know, the boys feel like they have contacts with their teachers, and we do as well. And that helps foster, obviously, a relationship where we get to know them and vice versa.
Well, we've about ran out of time, and I've just started on some questions I'd like to talk to you about. Maybe we can do that in a later session. But could you spend about a minute, and anything that you haven't mentioned about Oxford Academy, and give a brief idea, and then contact information?
Sure. So Oxford Academy is a traditional boys boarding school in Westbrook, Connecticut, along the Connecticut shoreline. We were founded in 1906 on the grounds of the Socratic method, Know Thyself, and one-to-one education. And for 100 plus years, you know, a lot of things have changed, but the core mission of the school has not. Our website is www.oxfordacademy.net. And, you know, if you're interested in seeing more about us, we have a lot of videos. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, a couple other platforms if you want to see what Oxford does.
Okay. Phone number, email, or
you want to... Sure, sure. Our phone number is 860-399-6247. Emails are on the website, but mine is headofschool@oxfordacademy.net, and Marty's is deanofstudies@oxfordacademy.net.
All right, David. Very good. Well, thank you very much. This is Lon Woodbury with the Woodbury Report. We've been talking with Philip Cocciola and Marty White. Marty White's the Dean of Students, and Philip is the head of the school. Thank you very much. It's been very enlightening.
Thank you, Lon.
Thank you.